Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 33, titled, The Genealogy Jive. This is part 2.
Verse 29, then he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Watch this. Write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. Here you go. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. In other words, God's cutting off the line of David at Jeconiah. And so if Jesus comes from that line, he's disqualified. Yep. Think of that. If Jesus came from Jeconiah as his seed, he could not be the Messiah. Christianity would be false. Yep. Think about that. That's how serious this thing is and how serious the accusation is. You could destroy any legitimacy of Christianity with this text. And there's been people who in their ignorance actually threw off Christianity because of it. And then they got so in deep into their skepticism and sin that even when someone come back later and showed them the answer, they were too far gone. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Now look, remembering what you just read, look back at Matthew 1, and let's read 11 and 12. And here's the dilemma. Matthew 1, 11 and 12. Read those verses with me. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and so on and so forth, right down to Jesus. You see, if Joseph were Jesus' father in the sense of his seed, Christianity's dead. But Joseph did not father Jesus. Joseph adopted Jesus. And so the problem is people take for granted that the genealogy over in Luke 3 should be the same. And he's not. Now look down at verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, that's referring to sex, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You see, Mary was impregnated by an act of God, not through sexual intercourse. And it explains, goes on to say, that then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So Joseph was going to have a quiet, secret divorce. In verse 20, but while he thought on these things, he's thinking, I need a good attorney. I wonder who I can call. I don't think Elk do this kind of work. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Read verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The only way he could is because he was not the natural offspring of Joseph. If this hadn't happened, Christianity would be a waste of time. That's why Islam is a waste of time. There is no savior in Islam. There's no savior in Buddhism. There's no savior in Scientology. There's no savior in Confucianism. You have to have a savior, folks. Amen. You're a sinner.
Amen.
And somebody had to save you from your sins, and the only person who could had to be God Himself. Not the offspring of a sinner, but a creation of God in the womb of Mary. Amen. Who happened to be God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, in Mary. Born for the purpose of growing up, having lived a sinless life, to die for your sin. And that's why no other religion can save. They don't have a Savior. Doesn't have anything to do with hating people. Just has to do with facts. Truth. You go to a doctor and he says you have cancer. Well, okay, what do? If he says, well, I want you to eat one lollipop for the next 30 days. That's going to save me? I don't know, but we really believe in it. That's religion. We got at least one here today. I know Otis is the one I know who can tell you that he didn't eat lollipops to get better from cancer. Amen. But what religion is going to tell you is no less insane than eating lollipops to cure cancer. These religions, fill in the blank of whatever religion you want to name, don't have a Savior. And thank God people from all of those religions have gotten saved, continue to be saved. Amen. But they're not saved by their religion, they're saved by Jesus. Amen. So the genealogies of Matthew and Luke do not contradict. They are not supposed to be the same. You see? You compare Luke 3 to Matthew 1, there's going to be some differences because they're different. And think of people throwing God out the window and becoming an atheist over something so silly. Such ignorance. And that's what all the contradictions you'll hear about are all the same.
So you mean it's kind of like Mariah's genealogy and my genealogy.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be the same.
Should not be the same.
Oh, okay.
If they are, gross. Now, back in Matthew 1, 6, you're still in Matthew 1. Note, in verse 6, it says, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat who?
Solomon.
Say it again.
Solomon.
Okay, Solomon. That's a son of David, right? Well, Jesus' DNA would not come through Solomon. Now, Solomon, in his line, was Jechonias. So there's your problem. How do you get around Jechonias? That's the question. Well, turn back to Luke chapter 3, verse 31, where we left off. All right, now read verse 31 with me. Which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of... Who? Which was the son of... So Luke 3 doesn't give you a genealogy from David to Solomon. It's David to Nathan.
Amen.
A different son of David.
Amen.
And he had a bunch of them, by the way. Nathan, son of David, not Solomon. So, the two issues, you can strike them out. You have two different genealogies. The one from Joseph is a legal right to the throne coming through Solomon.
Amen.
Not by DNA, not by his pedigree of his nature, but by his being adopted by Joseph. He's the first of Joseph's sons and has the right to the throne. But he also had to be genetically the son of David. And so he is through Nathan. And so verse 32, look at these names. Which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of, says, Booz, which is Boaz. Now you remember, who did Boaz marry? Ruth. Go back and read the book of Ruth. And you'll see how, again, God works out miraculously the genealogy of Jesus in Ruth. He goes, and then which was the son of Salmon? Who did Salmon marry?
Everybody.
Rahab. Rahab. How many of you thought, if you were to write this book, would you have made one of Jesus' great-great-grandmas a prostitute? Rahab the prostitute, the harlot, married Salmon. They had a little boy named Boaz who married Ruth, a Moabitess. Go back and read what God said about the Moabites back in the law. They weren't even allowed to go in the temple. But God worked one in there in the genealogy through Ruth.
Amen.
They then had a little boy named Jesse, and Jesse had a little boy named David. So Ruth was David's grandma. And Nathan's great-grandma. And I think she knew him. Be interesting to see some of that. So then we continue verses 33 and 4. Which was the son of Aminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esram, which was the son of Pharez. Recognize some of these names now? Pharez, remember the string around his finger? Remember that? Which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham. Remember Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah, where she got her name? She didn't get it from a pop star. She got it from the Bible, Moriah, where Abraham took Isaac up and was ready to offer Isaac his only son. Picturing the Father offering Jesus, his only begotten Son. See how amazing these genealogies are when you get to know the names? I know people, not naming names, but I know people who could tell you all kinds of characters in Star Wars. I know in Star Trek. And I've met people who know everybody in the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbits. And everybody in all kinds of, you know, different video games. Wouldn't it be amazing to exert that effort to learn these people's names?
Amen.
Not that you'd even have to do it by memory, but then when as you're reading them, you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, I remember him. Oh yeah, I remember him too. You know, do you have that kind of a thing when you're reading through the genealogies? Some of you don't read the genealogies. You ought to start.
Amen.
Jesus said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it gets real fun. It really does.
Amen.
And there's times where you got to figure out which one they're talking about because there's several people with the same name, that kind of thing too. And then once you learn that, it helps you understand what you're reading. It just so pick up in verse 35, which was the son of Seruk, which was the son of Ragu. Was that a spaghetti sauce? Ragu? No, okay, this is Ragu. Which was the son of Phelek, which was the son of Heber, which we believe is where they got the name Hebrews.
Amen.
Which was the son of Selah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad. That's a great baby name. Which was the son of Sem, which is Shem in the Hebrew. Who's his dad? Which was the son of Noah. Which was the son of Lamech. And there we get verse 37. You ought to recognize some of these names. Which was the son of Methuselah. How old did he live? 969 years. Imagine the arthritis. Which was the son of who? Remember him? He was the original rapture. Yeah. Great story. Which was the son of Jared? That. The original jeweler? Is that it? She went to Jared, which was the son of Malaleel, which was the son of Canaan. Now you had two Canaans there, see? You got to learn the difference. Which was the, now read verse 38 with me. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And that's why when Paul wrote later in to the Corinthians, he talked about Adam was the first Adam, called Jesus the second Adam. That which was first was of the earth, earthy. Adam, Son of God. The second was heavenly. Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh. Isn't that something? All the way back to Adam. How many of you knew that? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I read this, first time I read this, I thought, oh, I had no idea there was a genealogy of Jesus going all the way back to Adam. It was great. I was glad I didn't listen to some of my friends and skip the genealogies right there.
That's like, man, 4,000, at least 4,000 years
of... Yeah, at this time it would have been about 4,000 years.
Yep.
Worth of... Amazing. All the way back to Adam. So Joseph's genealogy establishes Jesus' legal claim to the throne of... If he'd only been the son of Mary, even as a virgin-born son, he couldn't have claimed the throne because the throne comes through the Father. But because of his genealogy of his adopted father, and adoption is serious business. Back then it was even more serious. And you were adopted and you were the first son of that man. You held the keys to the kingdom, man. And that's what happened with Jesus. Then you have Mary's genealogy, which establishes Jesus' natural claim. He couldn't just be legally the person to have a right to the throne. He would actually also have to be of the bloodline. I mean, you heard about the bloodlines. They talk about the bloodlines a lot. It's always been a requirement for the throne, bloodlines. And in this case, Jesus had both the bloodline and the paperwork. That's really what it comes down to. He needed the bloodline and the paperwork. And I close it up by saying the Bible is simply an amazing book. You come here this morning, hopefully, to learn something that will build your faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
A lot of people have told me they go to church because they want to hear something that will make them feel good. Well, if this don't make you feel good, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Learning the Word and having your faith built in the book ought to make you feel good. But most people, they just want to have the preacher look at them and say, you know, you're just wonderful. God loves you exactly. Were you getting blessed, Charlie? Is that what it is? God loves you. You just wonder. But when I got saved, I'm going to say this again. We got some people who haven't heard me say this before. The rest of y'all put in remembrance. When I got saved, I went to church with my Bible. And I was like, this is going to be great. I'm saved. I'm going to learn the Bible. I went months without learning squat. All I was told was, get your butt in the pew. Give money. You ought to pray and preach the gospel in two, but invite them to church so we can have them bigger numbers.
Yep.
Week after week after week, no matter what text they read, that was the points.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4 points and a punt.
Yep.
And I finally went to a church where they started teaching the Bible. And I won't go into a long story what happened there, but man, that was so wonderful to sit under somebody who would just teach the Bible.
Amen.
And I hope you feel that way about Bible Believers Fellowship.
Amen.
Yeah, Charlie?
What I was going to say is that it's an exciting thing talking about adoption. We're through Christ.
Amen.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And our bodies are waiting for the adoption, which is when we will be like Him.
Amen.
For we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, we've taught on the adoption thing and we will again at some point. But you, if you're a born again Christian, you're an adopted son of God.
Amen.
Yeah, Stephen?
Oh, well, I got a comment, I guess, on that question. Well, to bring up adoption again, I think, was it Caesar Augustus was the adopted son of Julius Caesar, and that's how he got the kingdom there?
I don't recall that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't recall that information directly, so that'd be a homework.
Yeah, how serious it was. But speaking of Canaan, is the first Canaan or the second Canaan where we get Canaan land from?
Neither.
Neither?
Yeah. The Canaanites were where we got the word Canaan land from. They were from Japheth.
One of the Canaan was
the way. Huh?
Wasn't one of them Noah's grandson?
Well, that's what, yeah, it's in the, it, right here. But he's saying, was he was asking, was one of these men named Canaan in the genealogy where we get the word for Canaan, like Canaan land and everything, and it wasn't. They were non-Semites. They were the pagans that God basically destroyed to give the land to the Hebrews. Yeah, John?
Yeah. You go to Luke 3:38, the last couple words. Adam, which was the son of God, and all the newer Bibles, they drop out the word begotten out of John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
And say he's the only, one and only son of God.
Yeah.
And that verse right there disproves John 3:16 from
yeah.
the newer Bibles.
You remove begotten from John 3:16, you make a mess of everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Jenny? Yeah.
It reminded me how when John was born, they're like, hey, let's name him after this other person, like his tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Bible supporting
like they did your brother?
Yeah.
It's nowadays, yeah. too.
In other words, the Bible yeah. says that they doubled up on names. Like, oh, we'll name yeah. him after this old relative. And it happened in Jesus' timeline, too.
Yeah. And, of course, that's where why they called John Walton John Boy, because his dad's name was John. And they call Johnny instead of just John, because his dad is John. So it's a practice that we see in the genealogies as well. Yeah, Mariah?
I just threw it out there. I did a quick Google search. And for contemporary English in America, the most popular proponent for standardizing English was Noah Webster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Webster dictionary goes back to Noah Webster.
A lot of the strange spellings you see, Ben Franklin wanted to introduce, but Noah Webster said no.
Yeah. Yeah, and for the most part, that kind of uniformity is a good thing.
Well,
you know,
he actually
but,
did it for political purposes at the time.
Yeah, musicians come forward. I don't know if you saw the sign there. You're always asking for a sign.
We saw the sign.
Give you one. Page 83 in your hymn book. Huh? You act like it. Page 83. O come, Emmanuel. Always thought of by people as a Christmas song. It's just a wonderful song, period. We sing it all year long around our house. Page 83 in your hymn book. If you can, you can stand.
my Lord, suffer for me. Carry the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to a cross. Great was the pain and the loss. He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, precious in name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know.
Amen.
He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, precious dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me.